Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says is bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're giving me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along. You get thirsty. You spot a little brook. You put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! A bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants the son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We are back with a Thursday show, back in our in-season schedule. We're back to three times a week, except for next week, because it's a Monday night game, and there'll be Patriots Monday on Tuesday, so we'll only be Wednesday and Thursday next week. But we're in season mode.
Opening night, Freddie.
Yeah, we're getting ready for this big game Monday night. I can't wait. There's a lot of excitement about the game. There's also a lot of side stories going on. Of course, you know, Richard Seymour leaving town. We still don't know what's going on with that, although there is a new rumor that we want to bring up and talk about. But also, T.O.'s coming to town and the things he's been saying. He did a press conference, which you can listen to on Patriots.com. He did that yesterday. So there's just so much going on. It's great. You know, finally, we're back to seeing real football.
And literally tonight.
Yeah, tonight.
The opener, Pittsburgh and Tennessee.
Season opener.
Open with a nice AFC playoff ramifications type battle. No layups anymore.
Okay.
And Monday Night Football, the trailer's here, so I know you like to paint the picture.
The trailer's here.
The 40th anniversary Monday Night Football production trailer is literally right outside the door of our studio.
In fact, I believe we'll have to go out a different way, because I'm not sure we can make it out on normal
the
exit.
Eric door?
People wonder, what it takes to put on one of these shows by the networks. I was looking at the credentials, the technical people that they handed out, over 250 people.
I believe it in this day and age with HD and all those extra cameras and graphics on the field and all that crap.
I have a sort of a silly question for you guys.
Okay.
Season hasn't started. We're opening up tonight.
Sillier than going all Wildcat if Brady gets hurt?
No, this is a serious silly question.
Okay.
That was not a serious thing, as I said to you yesterday, but you insisted on beating a dead horse. But anyway, season hasn't even started yet, but Andy said that a game with potential playoff ramifications, Tennessee and Pittsburgh. I would wholeheartedly agree. I think those are two of the better teams. I think Pittsburgh is probably a better team than Tennessee, but I don't expect Tennessee to fall apart. Some people do. I don't expect them to. I think they play defense too well to completely fall apart. With that in mind, silly season. Who you root for in terms of the
Pittsburgh.
Patriots? Who do you root? No, in terms of the Patriots.
I'll have my Mendenhall jersey on.
I know we don't have to. We don't get to play Pittsburgh this year, so...
Well, you might. You hope you do.
No, but listen, hear me out. We don't get to play them during the regular season, so in that sense, our fate is less in our hands. if it comes down to, hey, we can just knock them off and gain a game.
So root for Tennessee and then beat Tennessee yourself.
Root for Tennessee, absolutely.
Then ostensibly you're ahead of both of them.
That's right.
Makes sense to me.
Plus, you never, ever, ever, unless it helps you directly, root for the Raiders, the Steelers, or the Jets. Ever, if you're a Patriots fan.
You know what? That's one of the most rational, thought out, as they say in My Cousin Vinny, lucid arguments that Fred Kirsch has ever made.
I guess that's why I don't fit in around here. I spent the entire 90s rooting for the Raiders as my other team when during the Bo Jackson blackout
era. I can honestly
era.
Tell you that I've never rooted for the Raiders in a game.
Can't.
I've never rooted for the Raiders. I don't know if I could root for the Raiders if it benefited us.
No. No, I would never, ever root for them. Ever. And the Steelers the same way.
See, I respect the Steelers.
That doesn't say I don't respect them. Look, I do respect the Steelers. They have maintained success through the decades. You've got to respect the Steelers and the way they do things. And I respect Roethlisberger and the whole thing. But I would never root for them. I hate them as a team. You know, they're one of the Patriots' arch enemies in my eyes.
Word.
Okay? So, that being said, I'll be watching tonight rooting for the Titans. I can't wait. I'm you know, beside myself here.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. I think Fred's right. I think you root for the Titans.
Yep.
Fred's You're wrong. Damn Skippy.
I'll be rooting for the Steelers.
Right, because you don't care about the Patriots.
I didn't say that.
No, yeah, but that's why.
From a Patriots perspective,
I think the Steelers
are
the best.
It's just a paycheck to you, isn't it?
I think the Patriots
are
the best. I think they're going to meet in the AFC title.
Right.
And it is what it is. It's predetermined.
And from the Patriots side, I want to have everything to help have that game take place in Foxborough. So they need to lose some games.
To be the best, you got to beat the best.
This is a losable.
I want them to be the best. I want the Patriots to be the best.
This is a losable game.
Such an idiot.
No, but it makes sense. You know, if you think your team's going to be in the running for a seed,
right.
You look at the other teams that Arsenal you think are going to be in the running, you want them to lose games.
Now, look, that can change in a
Steelers
hurry.
Steelers are that team.
5 weeks into the season, you know, all of a sudden things could change in
right.
a hurry. And you say, geez, I wish I rooted for Tennessee that night, but now Tennessee's 5-0 and Pittsburgh is 2-3. And
right.
I wish I hadn't, you know, not that you whatever you root for has any impact, but
right.
you might change how you would have felt.
Sure. But right now, season opener, I'll throw in the Colts there. Not as much as those other teams. I just
hate Polian.
Yeah,
I don't really.
Yeah,
hate the
I don't
Colts.
Have the animosity toward the Colts
see,
that
I just
do
like
the Steelers,
Colts a lot
Jets,
more.
and Raiders. But I love seeing the Colts lose whenever I can, mostly for the same reason that I think we're going to be vying with them for a seed.
Yeah, see, I would root against those teams for that reason. The Raiders, I just plain hate.
Yeah.
I mean, the Raiders are. When was the last time they were relevant? 2002.
They can't.
Four and 12 is too good for them.
They can't go out of existence fast enough.
I want them to go 0-16 like Detroit did
every
year. I hate the Raiders.
Now, speaking of that, webradiopatriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. There's this rumor around there that I just kind of got wind of. I've been in meetings all morning. Seymour goes to the Raiders, and then the Raiders trade Seymour to the Panthers for Julius Peppers. Have you heard this?
No.
No.
This is out there.
Wow!
I'd heard the other end of that as speculatory rumors that the Patriots acquire the 2011 number one pick and send that to Carolina for Peppers.
Well, I thought about that because, as Bill said, all it is currency. You know, you use it, the pick, or you use it as currency. And he's thinking that way. And we always knew that, you know, the Panthers are going to want something decent for Peppers. But I doubt that because it's not the pick that the Patriots are worried about. It's the money. You're going to have room for $16 million on day one, and then you're going to have to restructure this guy right away. But you have to have that room for $16
million right,
on the day that you
sign.
Right,
which is the hurdle you can't clear in my mind. But
right.
I don't think the long-term money is the issue. I think if Bill targets a player and says he's worth NFL money, proven at the NFL level, he'll go pay him. Now, he has a window of, you know, this is what the best defensive end, outside linebacker types get or dominant defensive players
right.
get. So it has to be in that window.
Right.
But
the question
I think
is,
he's willing.
No.
I mean, Adalys Thomas, he ponied up.
I agree. And the
Richard Seymour the first time ponied up.
Right.
Tom Brady ponied up.
Is there anyone in the league, and I don't know the answer to this, that Bill feels is worthy of what Peppers would command or what an Albert Haynesworth would command? Because I know they were interested in Albert Haynesworth. They just weren't going to go there.
You do?
I'm pretty sure they were interested. In fact, I think it was written that they made inquiries.
The Patriots?
Yes.
I never said that.
I know that they were interested.
I never read it, and I don't believe I've ever heard it.
I think so, but they just weren't. But they just weren't willing to go to that level, you know. And the question
I never
is,
heard that, and also the fact that he signed, you know,
instantly,
13 seconds after free agency opened.
I assumed Fred meant they had interest when the Redskins had interest, which was like 2 weeks before.
Right. So I would ixnay on that interest, Fred.
Well,
because we all know that Washington tampered there.
Okay, let's put it this way. When I say interest, I'm not saying that they called the agent, had talks, but they considered Albert Hainsworth.
You mean they thought he was a good player?
Yeah, they absolutely no.
Yeah,
but they absolutely considered Albert Hainsworth for this team.
Can you imagine that? We're talking Seymour and Will Fork and all this, and they go out and sign Albert Hainsworth as free agency opens.
Well, I think
that would have been the most stunning move in the history of moves.
I think with a player of that caliber, you have to look at it. But I think that they realize that we're just not going to pay. So my question is, who are the people that Bill Belichick thinks is worthy of those top dollars? I don't think there's a lot of people in the league right now that he does feel that way about.
I agree. I think it varies. I mean, obviously we know he loves Ed Reed, but the going value of Ed Reed isn't the same as that $100 million. I mean, there's a window there. Aside from Hainsworth, it seems like the top-level defenders have slid into that, what was it, 6 years, $63 million or whatever. Suggs got, somebody else got it. It's, and even like before that, Ray Lewis got $50 million. I mean, right in that middle of the century mark is where the defensive contracts have been. I think he'd pay that. If he thinks Pepper's upside to me is that value. Now, whether he can do it in the 3-4 as an outside linebacker and whether you can have him motivated at all times, his upside is 16 sacks, defensive player of the year type money. I mean, that's what his upside is.
You know, and maybe all that talk that we had about Peppers in a 3-4 outside linebacker type is kind of
irrelevant now.
Yeah. You know, because
they go 4-3.
Think about him with a Derek Burgess type role, where it's really not a 3-4 outside linebacker, but rather kind of a situational pass rushing type, who in Peppers' case I think would play every down. Certainly, if you're going to pay
because
him that kind of money, you have to pay him every down. Maybe that transition is a little bit less important than we all thought back in, you know, April and May.
I don't have the specific answer to your question, Fred, but I think he'd pay it for the guy he thinks is worth, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Really good.
No.
I don't think he's opposed to the money.
No.
He's opposed to a guy not worth that money getting it.
Like if it was Lawrence Taylor, I think he'd do it.
Sure.
You know, but now imagine, though, Pepper's coming in here right now. Oh, my God.
Well,
forget it.
If you're going to play this little what-if scenario, to me that muddies the water even more because now the pick that Oakland might want back because Richard Seymour didn't show up went through the Patriots. It's already in Carolina because Carolina sent Peppers. I mean, that scenario could get – I think it's ugly now. It could get really ugly if something like that happened.
All right. Are we hearing anything about Seymour? Any new news?
I haven't heard anything new on Seymour, but we have heard from some people that the specific – way the trade could blow up has to be called for in the trade itself. The trade was filed with the league, approved by the league. Every trade has scenarios in it, you know, failed physical, guy doesn't show up, what happens? Apparently that is written out in the legal mumbo-jumbo of every trade. Who knows what it is in this specific scenario, but that's how trades work. There are stuff written into them.
And like you said, I think in the trade there is a scenario, what if the player doesn't show up? And I think that that what if falls on what the Oakland options are.
Well,
these are the options open to you.
I mean, if we're going to make the Raiders out to be a laughingstock franchise, I don't necessarily assume that it says in there, what if Richard doesn't show up? Maybe they didn't put it in. I mean, they make a lot of mistakes. They do a lot of dumb stuff. Who knows what's, I mean, who's your girl that you said yesterday that run is number
Amy
two?
Amy Trask.
Maybe she didn't put it in. Maybe it's supposed to be in there and it wasn't. They signed off on something. Who knows?
But, you know, I was listening to the other radio shows, and I kind of agree what I think Glenn Ordway was saying. There has to be a rule in the NFL somewhere that says, what if a player gets traded and he doesn't show up? There has to be. I mean, I can't believe that no one has thought that that might happen.
Well,
before.
It gets back to, are you acquiring a player or the rights to a player?
Explain what you think.
Because they
the
can then
is.
Turn and trade the rights to somebody else.
Yeah. True.
So he never has to show up in Oakland. His rights are a commodity, maybe on a different level than his playing on the field.
Well, that's fine, but at some point he has to show up somewhere, you know,
or retire.
The thing is,
that's the player's option.
Yeah, and the part that people aren't taking into consideration. First of all, this just happened 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago, wasn't it, Andy, with Jake Plummer? Jake Plummer got traded to Tampa Bay and retired. He didn't want to go there, and he decided to retire.
Right.
Now,
but he was already talking retirement before the trade.
I know it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but there is some precedent for what happens. And listen, it's very simple. People make it sound like, oh, if it was that easy to nix a trade. Well, no, it's not that easy to nix a trade. Richard Seymour is potentially forfeiting a good amount of money. There's a chance that he gets zero instead of $3.685 million in 2009. Well, matter of fact, he's dangerously close to that right now.
He'd also, the Raiders could go after the $6 million in bonus money on the cap. He could have to pay back $6 million,
which Florio
I think would be a little
today.
Unprecedented.
Yeah, it's not that high, I guess. Florio wrote something today, and I don't know if you have that, Fred, because Andy and I were talking about that yesterday, and I guess that the remaining bonus isn't quite that big, but Andy's point is still valid. Depending on how much of the season he missed, there's portions of the signing bonus that one of the teams could go after, depending on who ends up ultimately responsible. And that gets back to the whole who has to send the 5-day letter and all that crap. It just, you know, there's a lot of stuff here that, unfortunately, on the eve, you know, not even the eve, on opening night, who cares about this stuff right now? I just want to, let's just talk about football, you know? And this doesn't really have anything to do with football. It's a lot of stuff that we just don't know, and quite frankly, it's kind of boring.
Well, I think people want to know, could Seymour have to come back here? Is, you know, how disruptive could this be?
I think yes. I mean, I don't know the legalese, but you'd have to think on some level, yes, there's a chance the trade blows
up. Here's the thing that Paul was talking about on Florio. He says Seymour faces small signing bonus forfeiture for now. 2 years ago, the Buccaneers traded for Broncos quarterback Jake Plummer. The deal went through, even though Plummer never reported to Tampa. And the deal specifically was negotiated with that possibility in mind. So when Plummer didn't report, the Bucs pursued him for millions in previously paid signing bonus money. Eventually, Plummer agreed to pay $3.5 million for the privilege of never playing again. In the case of Seymour, who was traded to the Raiders 4 days ago and still hasn't reported for work, the exposure would be significantly lower. And he's saying that it'd probably be about $333,000.
How?
Keep reading.
All right. Per league source, Seymour's allocation for 09 is only $1.335 million. So if the Raiders or the Patriots attempt to recover bonus money, the maximum forfeiture is, for now, $333,000. If Seymour sits out the full season, he'd potentially have to pay $1.335 million. Likewise, if he ultimately shows up halfway through the season, he'd owe the portion of the allocation corresponding to the number of games he has missed.
I find that interesting because I thought it was like the $6 million that, or whatever that number is.
What I think makes it kind of confusing is, if you remember, there were different tiers to that bonus, and maybe it's only the second bonus or, I don't know, maybe it's only the original signing bonus.
Right.
That's considered, because wasn't there a big roster bonus the second year?
Once you earn a roster bonus, you've earned it.
You've earned a signing bonus, you've earned it too.
Not if it's in the future. Not if you got paid today and it's allocated over the term of your contract. Then if you did something detrimental to the team and you had 4 years left in your contract, that four years worth of your signing bonus, you could be held responsible.
Well, that's what the league is saying in this rule.
But even that has been relaxed a little bit with the latest CBA, which this deal was signed after the latest CBA.
That's true.
But the part there that is what I was talking about earlier is the Plummer deal, the trade was made under the awareness that there was a chance he would never show up. So clearly the language in that deal to deal with such a situation was tight.
Right.
That's why Plummer had to pay them $3 million or whatever. Yeah. So the question is, did the Raiders have any inkling that Richard Seymour might not show up, might not want to come? Did they include something along those lines that's as airtight as the Bucks did with Plummer? Is there a loose inclusion? Is there no inclusion?
Every one of these deals has a boilerplate language that you start from there and then you build on that. I can't believe that in trading a player in the NFL, the boilerplate language doesn't include what if the player doesn't show up. Because no one has a no-trade clause. I don't think anyone has that in the NFL. I don't know if you can or can't have that. I'm not sure. And that being the case, you know, you would think that players would be pissed when they got traded.
Right,
you
know? But for all we know, Al Davis scribbled a note that he faxed to Bill and had Bill sign. I mean, we make fun of Al Davis, and there's a lot of reasons why, and this would be another if something like that panned out.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that this is all on the Raiders right now. The deal is done. He's the Raiders' property. They have.
I can't believe it. That you would have that feeling.
No.
The onus is on them to deal with it.
No, and the options are all the Raiders' options. The Patriots have no say or options in this matter.
That is certainly the message that was sent by Mike Lombardi in his National Football Post posting yesterday.
And by Bill Belichick.
And by Bill Belichick, but what do Fred Kirsch, Mike Lombardi, and Bill Belichick have in common?
No, but
they're all tied together.
But if you step back and look at it from a reasonable person's standpoint, doesn't that make sense that now he is property of the Raiders and all the options?
Not if he never shows up, because I say to finalize the trade, he has to pass a physical. He never showed up to pass a physical. I void the trade.
I don't know. Maybe there's something where he had a physical.
You go back with the college standard, not showing up constitutes failure.
Right.
So, I mean, if he doesn't show up for a physical, is that same as failing one?
Well, I don't know.
Look, I understand. I think you're going to end up being right, Fred. I mean, I think the Mike Lombardi post that Andy alluded to yesterday, that sounds to me like that's probably the way it's done. And to get to what you were saying, I think the NFL is going to have to step in and put some specific language to prevent these kinds of things from happening again. Common sense tells me the Raiders are really getting screwed here.
Right.
Because they have a guy that they traded for who's not showing up, and they're going to lose their draft pick.
Think about it this way. Reverse it. Can you imagine
I would be
if
up
the
in
Patriots
arms about
had
this.
Just traded for a guy, given up a first-round pick, and the guy didn't show up? Patriots Nation would be heading to that guy's home.
Well, led by Fred Kirsch.
Well, absolutely.
Do you want me to give you what it would be if the situation were reversed?
Go ahead.
The NFL's out to get the Patriots.
Right.
That would be the situation, because that's what the situation is for everything.
But fortunately,
they're making them start on Monday night at 7:00. They're out to get us.
Fortunately, guys pay their own way to play here now, so it's a little bit different.
I just think there's at least a chance that it's not airtight in the trade the way it's written.
Yeah.
Because it's not Brandon Marshall. It's not one of these guys that there's reason to believe that there could be some issue. It's Richard Seymour. You just acquired a consummate professional and all pro, you know, there was no reason to believe he's not just going to come and do his job.
I'm not sure about that. I would think that any time you do a deal the week before opening game, there's a reason to believe that a player would be pissed.
Pissed?
Especially when you've been in the league for 9 years.
There's a difference between being pissed and just flat out, I'm not going to show
well,
up.
Well, and that pissed can manifest in different ways, and I can't believe that boilerplate language doesn't cover this.
I'm going to start throwing that term around. Any radio appearances. I can't believe the boilerplate language does not cover this scenario.
Well, I think it's reasonable to say that.
What does that mean? What's the boilerplate?
Boilerplate is standard language that is in every contract.
Does it come from a furnace?
Jeez.
Anyway. No, I'm being serious. I like when terms that don't seem to directly tie into what they mean.
Like boilerplate. Where did that come
yes.
from? Yes. Well, that's a good thing. Maybe
strippers,
strippers maybe
will beat them to it. Don't worry about
somebody, it. One of our listeners tell us where the term boilerplate.
Well, we can't have strippers do it. He's trying to figure out if they can move a guard to tight end this week.
Oklahoma, their starting tight end, their star got hurt out for the season. The guy who started at center last week is going to start at tight end moving forward.
Well, no, I think he got hurt.
Who?
The center. I think broke his fingers or something. He played tight end last week, I think.
Oh.
And I think he broke his fingers.
After
that's
the
why
guy
I think
went out, he moved during the game?
Yeah. Oh, the guy didn't play. Gresham? He didn't get hurt in the game last week. He didn't play.
Oh.
I don't think.
Because the guy who's now their starting tight end started at center last week in the opener. So their center is now their tight end. I don't understand how that happens at a major football school.
Good Sooner talk. Okay, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone right now is Salt. Salt, how you doing? How's Peppa?
She's doing good. How you guys doing, guys?
Great.
What's up?
I don't know. How's everyone doing? I didn't get to listen yesterday. Everyone, the world falling. You know, sky falling to the earth.
No, we're great.
Patriots are fine. It's
why wouldn't we be?
Raiders are having trouble.
We got a first-round pick, and we might get Richard Seymour, too. Who knows?
Yeah, we had to talk Fred off the ledge for a little bit, but, you know, he was fine. No, I think we all like the trade, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't know if I
like
it. I don't love it. I like it, don't love it.
What was that, Salt?
I can see it because, you know, obviously it's going to be a top-10 pick 2 years from now. I'm pretty sure the Raiders aren't going to do anything this year or next year.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident
in
that.
Yeah, I feel confident in that.
Jamarcus Russell's still there. I'm okay with it.
No one's really said it that I've heard. I haven't read it, and I haven't seen it on TV, but I don't know how this defense is supposed to be good as better than last year's. We lost four starters, basically.
You don't watch the PFW TV show, do you? We spent a lot of time talking about that, how this defense, for me personally, aside for my binky James Sanders, is a total question mark. Who knows what you're going to get?
And it could wind up being as many as six new starters, too, depending on what they do and what alignment they come out in. I mean, you're going to have Warren, Wilfork, Adalis Thomas, Mayo, Merriweather, and Sanders probably as returning starters. So that's, I mean, you have a chance to have at least five, but depending on what they do up front, you know, that's a lot of turnover for 1 year in the starting lineup.
Yeah, what are they supposed to do? They don't have enough linebackers to do a 3-4, and they don't have enough linemen to do a 4-3.
I don't know. Well, they have enough linemen.
They have enough linemen.
Do they have the right linemen?
Yeah.
Doing the 3-3 nickel?
Yeah, it's college football. Paul's going to run the Wildcat all year long on offense, and we're going 3-3-5 defense, which is...
Who do you think you have a better
Urban
chance
Meyer
of putting
effect.
Points up again? With Kevin Faulk running the Wildcat or Brian Hoyer running a conventional offense?
Hoyer just throwing bomb after bomb to Moss and say sooner or later he'll catch one.
So do you think this Buffalo game could be a loss? Do you think the first week is always, you know, you get some spoilers. You think this might be it?
No. Unless T.O. can single-handedly carry the Bills, no.
You know, I don't, but you're right. The first week always carries a number of surprises. There's always big plays made in the first week. The kind of plays that can even off a game where the talent isn't really that even. But with all that's going on here in New England, the Seymour stuff and the transition on defense, have you looked at all of what's going on in Buffalo? I mean, that's a train wreck. That's utter disarray. So I was watching a panel show on ESPN the other night. Not that those guys are the be-all, end-all, obviously, but a lot of those think that Buffalo's going to be the worst team in football. They're going to be worse than the Raiders, worse than the Broncos. They think that that's a complete and total mess there. They have a completely revamped offensive line, including a change at left tackle, the most important position on the offensive line, and they're going to put in a seventh-round developmental draft pick who didn't play much, if at all, Carl Malone's illegitimate son, by the way. Do you know that, Demetrius Bell?
No.
I just found that out reading Sports Illustrated last week.
He's got many of them.
Yeah, and this one he doesn't have any relationship with. He doesn't talk to him. He's never.
Who in the
to
NBA
him.
Doesn't? I mean,
but this
you
is,
don't have 10 kids. You're not a true NBA
this
player.
This would be like putting Stephen. This is literal, Andy. Stephen Neal came in here when 2001, right?
Yeah.
This would be like starting opening day 2002. Stephen Neal. That's the equivalent of this guy. He didn't really play, and they took him as a seventh round flyer, and all of a sudden they. Cut Langston Walker, what, 6 days before the opener, and they're going to plug this guy in. It's a mess there.
It's kind of like plugging Myron Pryor in for Richard Seymour.
All right, Salt, thanks for calling.
Well, Jarvis Green, I'm like, right.
Oh, you don't think the team's going to give up on them like opening day of 2003?
No, I don't think they hate their coach this week.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. You could, you know, I didn't see 31-0 coming opening day 2003, but you had to be blind if you didn't see that there was a problem heading into opening day in
2003. The day that they got rid of Malloy, I walked into a certain person's office in this building and said, I need a pep talk. those were my exact words because I really was upset. Not necessarily for Lawyer Malloy or because just what are we doing, you know?
The hell is going on out there?
Yeah, I mean, the players were very outspoken, very upset. Teddy Bruschi said he couldn't even – Teddy Bruschi, of all people, the ultimate Patriot, said I couldn't even call the Patriots my team. I have more loyalty to my high school team than I do.
Have loved to have been a fly on the wall after that in the weeks after that of how Bill kind of rallied these guys because obviously he did something because they ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. So what?
I'll tell you exactly what happened. Okay. Tom Jackson said they hate their coach.
Well,
and that became a rallying cry for them.
Well, maybe it did.
I absolutely think it did.
Yeah,
they did. I mean, because those comments didn't go away after the Buffalo game.
Yeah,
it wasn't like they got smacked into their senses and turned it all. I think that comment really hit home for them. Like we're acting like a bunch of babies. This guy's saying this. This guy's saying that. Right. They come up with a big win in Philadelphia, and the rest is history.
That's right.
You know, after Andy dismissed him 2 weeks later.
No less than four of our listeners so far have sent
Salt?
Us the explanation. Iris said goodbye.
Oh,
to
he's
Salt.
Gone.
No less than four of our listeners have sent us explanations of boilerplate. Dan Heffron, Chris with a TIAN, another Chris. Here it is. Back in the days of hot metal typesetting, newspapers were printed from metal plates of type. cast from mats created by typesetters in the newspaper's composition room. These never-changed plates came to be known in the late 19th century as boilerplate from their resemblance to the plates used to construct boilers, and eventually any part of the paper that rarely changed, such as the masthead, came to be called boilerplate. The term boilerplate was later adopted by lawyers to describe those parts of a contract that are considered standard language, although any really good lawyer will tell you, always read the boilerplate in any contract you plan to sign. So
now we know.
The one that he read actually came from me, Andy. Just thought I'd like.
I doubt it.
I'm reading it from Dan Heffron. So
you were reading the paper too.
Yeah,
it's which I printed off. I didn't look at the email.
You both got it from the same place. So
that's fine. We use the same sources. It was the first one that popped up.
I want to give credit to our listeners, but you know,
you doing your job is not news.
Doc in here has to take credit away from our listeners.
We're going to do
Doc,
that.
Do you need a hug?
Last day of training camp, Campcast, or did you want to work on that? You know, the one you didn't show up for.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, the first day of training camp, I could understand. Well, you know, I wasn't in my schedule yet. The last day after we had done it, what, 16 days in a row?
Well, it wasn't the first he'd missed to be, you know.
I missed two. I missed two.
He may have forgotten.
He also showed up quite late for a few others.
All right.
Tomash saved your ass on one of them.
So, you know, I hate talking about contract stuff. That's
well, that's
boring.
Just that was the point that I was trying to make. I mean, we got the season starting.
We're going to talk about the game.
And I know it's important. I'm not dismissing the Seymour situation. But we don't have any more information. He's still in Boston,
right,
as far as we know. And the status is quo, as Bill likes to say.
Another story, kind of related to the Patriots, but not really. Brett Favre, making headlines again, says that the Jets knew about his torn biceps and they didn't report it. Love it, because maybe it'll get another team in trouble about not reporting injuries except us. But what do you think about that?
In Denver.
Should Brett Favre just shut his mouth?
Yeah.
My God. This team did him a favor, the Jets I'm talking about, by releasing him. They didn't have to do that.
Hey, you got any interest in Bobby Wade?
The receiver?
Yeah. He just got. I guess he got released by the Vikings. I didn't know that.
He was not bad, right?
Isn't he the guy who cut?
He's an NFL receiver. I mean, we don't really have that many NFL receivers.
Yeah, but we just cut Greg Lewis. I mean, we don't need anybody, right? We had to cut him because of numbers?
Well, theoretically.
I mean.
But my question is Wade better than Greg Lewis or better?
I don't know the answer, but I agree with Paul's point, which is there's not many receivers on this roster that I'd feel good going into a game with other than Moss and Welker. Not sold on Galloway, not sold on Edelman, not sold on Aiken.
And you weren't sold on Lewis?
I was sold on Lewis before I saw him practice. I got less sold watching him play.
I thought he got better as the.
If you remember in April, I predicted 50 catches.
I forgot about that.
I thought he got better as the preseason wore on.
He was okay.
I was surprised that he got cut.
I was really surprised because Tom really praised him.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that's one of those letter of recommendation praises.
But you look at the guys that are left that, you know, weren't up for, you know, Edelman is just so versatile. I think they have to keep him. Same thing with Aiken. I think that he does a lot of things that a Greg Lewis can't do.
Well, Sam Aiken is Larry Izzo. He's not a receiver. He can catch the ball, and he might play a little, but he's a special teamer. Just like Larry Izzo sometimes was on the field on defense. He's a special teamer. He's the special teams captain. He's going to be your core guy, one of your core guys. So you have the four.
So you know,
and Galloway, I'm still not sold, isn't
sold
building that ever-necessary rapport with the quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Galloway either at this point. I mean, not that he should have gotten cut, but I agree with Andy. He's not looking comfortable to me. Lewis, I don't know what these guys did last year, because I'm looking at 2008
Lewis
media guides.
Lewis
did nothing last year.
I don't was know inactive, a healthy scratch in games.
What did Wade do last year?
No idea.
Well, it looks to me like Bobby
Wade.
Wasn't
he the guy who cut Rodney Harrison, or no?
Yeah, I think it might have been.
And blew out his.
That name sounds
familiar. He was in Tennessee.
He was the guy.
Yeah.
But Bobby
Maybe
Wade.
Maybe that's why we'll never take him.
Bobby Wade
Harrison's
caught
gone.
12.
No, but
he was a rookie.
Bill's a big about that.
Wade was a rookie in 03. He caught 12 balls with Chicago. Then he caught 42. Then he had 14 the next year combined with Chicago and Tennessee. But then 33 and then 54. I don't know what he did last year, like I said. But that's 42, 33, and 54. Is Greg Lewis had?
He had like 150 catch season and not really close after that.
Paul.
Lewis had 48 catches in 05. 17, 24, and 13. So I think Wade's got a better resume.
Sure.
Wade last year had 53 receptions, 645 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
All right.
Yeah, well. So that's four years, four different seasons that Bobby Wade had 42 or more catches. Greg Lewis has one of those where he had more than 42.
But so, what is Bobby Wade?
Oh, I don't
part
think
of my whole Greg Lewis was he's a route runner and he's going to fit in well in this offense.
5'10", 186, right. So he's not probably
he's a little
guy. You know, he's probably a candidate for the slot.
And who do you get rid of if you bring him in?
A nice little player.
How about the Jag defensive
Brett
back
Michaels or what's his name? Brett Lockett?
Yeah.
So you get Brett rid of Michaels. One of them and you keep six receivers?
Now, I also don't know if Bobby Wade is a better special teams candidate than
at that size?
Than Greg Lewis.
Well, Greg Lewis was a special teamer.
But so, you know, I don't know who would give you more in terms of more versatility on special teams as opposed to just being maybe a return candidate. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know the answer to it either.
He has Bobby Wade, he has done some punt returning. He had 33 punt returns for the Bears in 2005. Mm. Averaged 9.6 yards, 73-yard touchdown he had. For his career, he has 54 returns, averages 8.6 per return. It's not terrible. And he also had 50 kickoff returns in 2006 for Tennessee, averaged 23.9 yards. I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
I mean, I could certainly find a roster spot for him if I had interest.
I'm not in love with this guy.
There's
it's not
plenty
like
of
I
guys
think
I'd either cut or put on IR. Or,
yeah.
I mean, Slator would be one of them.
Slator?
That's what the person spelled his name in SPFW.
We rarely get overly negative emails about guys who make the team. We get a lot of emails wondering why guys who got cut. That happens. Terrence Nunn, we got literally... dozens of emails wondering why he got cut. But we rarely get wondering why somebody made the team. We've gotten a few wondering why Slater made the team.
I was surprised. I have to admit
I was very
certainly with an injury.
I was surprised because of the injury. Based on what we saw heading into, you know, the final weeks of, in the final days of camp and the preseason, I wasn't surprised that he made it. But then when he got hurt, I figured, well, that's convenient for him. They get to keep him around for another year.
See, I was surprised because
he made enough good plays to warrant the spot.
No, but no? He was out there for everything. You could sell. You could tell that they thought he was
right.
Now, like I said, he made.
I just
those...
feel like he's like a long snapper who half his long snaps are terrible and half are perfect.
Well, I just felt that the reason he was out there all the time is they were giving him yet another chance.
But on, but
to prove
but
himself.
You're talking about just on returns as the gunner.
As the gunner,
yes,
gets down there.
Andy's right. He got down there and he made two glaring errors running into the return man early. But he also made three tackles in both of those games. So I don't understand. If you ask me, he wouldn't have made the team. I still try to figure out how on earth they drafted the guy in the fifth round. Yeah. You know, I look at Dan Copen and Matthew Slater, both fifth round picks. That's
well,
how
tried,
I look at
they
it.
They tried to be a little outside the box. They tried to
but
target
but I don't think you have to be outside the box
teamer.
On those guys. I can't imagine that guy was going to get drafted. I just can't.
Maybe. You think they could have picked him up
as an undrafted free agent?
Right.
Maybe.
Well, I don't know. You know, they get inklings of other teams interested.
So I'm not trying to say that I think he should make it. I agree with you, both of you guys. I was surprised that he's here. Just the
and I'm not even saying this year. I'm saying the full year now we've had to see him. When he's had a chance to make a play,
he's been unimpressive.
He doesn't. And to me, he's too noticed. And it's not for the right reasons. Those gunners, we shouldn't really notice. We should just say they're good and move on. He gets noticed all too often, and it's usually bad stuff. As they, you know, as the email said yesterday, the arm injury won't affect his kick returns because he uses his face. I mean, he's kind of a punchline in his career so far.
TG and NJ wants he thinks that the Vikings cut Wade and actually signed Lewis.
Oh, really?
That would be cool. A little swappage.
Maybe we could get verification on that.
I was
not...
just going by a scroll that went by. It said that Bobby Wade was cut. It didn't say anything about signing Lewis.
Ex-Patriots catching on everywhere. Alex Smith in Philly. Now Greg Lewis in Minnesota.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone right now is Mike in Puerto Rico. Mike, how you doing?
Actually, it's Mike in Fort Devens today. How you guys
doing?
Oh,
Fort Devens. How you doing?
I am well, just halfway through some training that I'm doing over here, enjoying your nice Boston weather. I actually enjoy this more than the 85, 90 degrees back home, at least for a while now.
Now, what kind of training are you doing?
Army training.
Army training, yeah, but it's called BNOC. It's a training that you have to take, basic non-commissioned officer course. You take it in order to get promoted.
Okay, cool.
So you're going to get a raise after this?
Yeah, every time you get promoted, you get a raise. That's
nice.
Correct.
Nice. Lunch is on you.
Yes, it's already been arranged.
I don't like taking that from our men and women.
Thank you for your service.
That's ridiculous. We should be paying Mike for lunch.
No, don't worry about it. Yeah, more than willing, more than happy to do it.
What's that?
I had a question. Maybe I could get some clarification on this. The pick that we will eventually, well, I don't know if we got for Seymour, is it for the draft that's on 2010 or the draft that's on 2011?
11.
Okay, so we don't get any additional picks next year. On April 2010, we get an additional pick on April 2011.
Correct. Right. Yep.
Okay. Just want to, it just seemed weird because I know there's other. It just seemed weird for a second. And then the other question that I was going to tell you guys is, as far as the seasons, the way the whole defense is coming together, you know, Seymour going out and Brace and Myron Pryor coming in, I've read a lot of stuff over the internet, forums, and on PFW in Progress. What's the over-under? At least what's the percentage? Is 75%, 25% that we're going to be doing like 4-3 and 3-4? I mean, do you have guys like a particular percentage in mind?
No, I don't. I think it depends on who they're playing. You know, they will completely, you know, scheme their defense depending on the offense that they're playing. So
theoretically.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess you could go down the roster, I mean, the season schedule and say, okay, you know, the Bills are a certain type of team. You know, you think that they're going to be so – but that'd be hard to do.
But it also will be related to if they are really good in one, really bad in one, mediocre.
Well, down the road, yeah.
I mean, if they find out that, say they go 4-3 and it's Burgess on one end and Warren on the other, and they're just killing Derek Burgess. Well, we can't go 4-3 as a base defense. We're getting killed. We can't do it, or whatever. There will be. It's not just going to be the other team's strength trying to take it away. It's going to be what are our strengths and weaknesses, and what do we need to cover up?
Right.
So when we go 4-3, basically, is the package going to look like Burgess, Brace, Wilfork, and what's the other guy's name? I'm sorry.
Warren.
Warren.
And then on the outside, you're going to have Guyton, Mayo, and AD?
I think the only two guys that you can say on that 4-3 that are definite as far as the front line is Wilfork and Warren.
Yeah,
Everybody else could be mixed in.
Right.
I think the linebackers are right. I think it'll be Thomas, Mayo, and Guyton.
And Guyton, right.
Do you think we'll see a resurgence or like an explosion out of Wilfork going into a one-gap system, like having more sacks and getting all involved in the backfield?
Well, if they go one-gap, yeah, I mean, primarily when they're a 4-3 team, they're still a two-gap team.
Oh, okay.
You know, Bill has said that 4-3-3-4, the techniques don't change. I'm not sure if that's the whole story.
It's not. Yeah. Well, sometimes they do. The players have talked about sometimes they let us go.
And for
now,
the
if they let us go
summer,
more
but
often.
That's probably third and long.
But if they let him go, exactly. I think Will Fork will have bigger numbers. If they don't, he won't.
And for the most part this summer, and Andy and I really watched this a lot, the first couple of games, they were still two-gapping.
Right.
But there were times, Andy's right, and there were times that they let him go. And Warren in particular talks about it all the time. On those opportunities that they give us, we have to make sure we're productive because we don't get them often. And we can't sit here and complain about not getting him if we don't take advantage of them.
Do you think, theoretically, philosophically, whatever you want, that if you're trying to re-sign Wilfork, wouldn't it hurt you to give him more of those opportunities? Wouldn't his value go up on the open market as he shows the ability to one gap and get to... I mean, if he all of a sudden has 8.5 sacks and is in the backfield every sack...
I hope they're not thinking that way.
I ask you.
I would love to think that never comes into the mindset of any organization, but I know I'd be naive to think
I think it does.
But then that'd be completely on us, because then, as far as I know, and again, I'm no capologist, but having Seymour, letting Seymour go does free up a lot of money in order to get Wilfork done before the season even starts.
It doesn't free up that much.
It's only about $3 million.
Yeah, it's only a little over $3 million. So,
and Seymour wasn't on the books moving forward, so it does nothing long term.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's why I told you I wasn't a capologist. Okay, guys, I appreciate everything, and hopefully I'll see you next week, all right?
Okay, Mike, good luck with your training.
And your promotion.
Right. Yep.
You got my recommendation.
All right, 12:47, we need to take a break. We'll be right back.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush, but you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. and is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
2 shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
Okay, I've been handed this. I need to read it. It says, "Hey, doctor, if you're able to get any of the guys to do fantasy lowdown tees between 12 and 4, here's what they can say. Catch the fantasy lowdown this afternoon from 4 to 5 Eastern as Brian Lowe helps you get set for the week 1. Chris Wessling from rotoworld.com will be checking in with his thoughts and find out how you can get insurance. That's right, insurance for your fantasy football team. It's certainly not too late to send in your emails and fantasy football questions to webradio@patriots.com. Don't miss the fantasy lowdown today at 4.
Make sure you tell your friends.
You know what's good for B-Low? He's no longer the worst show in the lineup.
No, Shop Talk was a big success.
Shop Talk was pretty good yesterday.
Was it?
Yeah.
In all seriousness.
Did you somehow find a way to get video?
For people who have no radio experience whatsoever, the show flowed. It was entertaining.
Was it?
They got more emails than B-Lo gets.
Wow, so he still is the worst show.
Well, that's a slam at fantasy football.
We gave a hat away. Christina asked a question to the listeners. We had 5 emails with the correct answer. A lady called up on the phone right away.
I think it's great.
I think it's going to catch on.
Just to hear Christina laugh, it's worth listening to for an hour.
You are so creepy.
No,
it really
is. I get she's hot, she's skinny, she's attractive, but jokes about her laugh and like you're hiding in the corner listening to her, like getting off because she laughed.
Don't you think she has an infectious laugh? I think so.
I think she's great.
Yeah.
But you take it to uncomfortable levels.
I think you're the one that's uncomfortable.
I am. I just said I'm uncomfortable.
Absolutely. Right. I'm uncomfortable.
Just around, like the show you did with her that one day, and it was awkward.
Around you, when you're around her or talking about her, makes me uncomfortable.
So who's up next week from the pro shop, Doctor?
Well, therein lies the problem.
They're not sure.
Therein lies the problem.
Wait, what?
Who's that now?
No, yeah. In all seriousness, can you tell me if and when you have somebody on from the memorabilia / signing industry?
They're going to try to get the Reebok rep on within the next couple of weeks. I think somebody from VUI might come on next week. And they said a celebrity who frequents the pro shop often might be coming on.
Carol Hardy?
Comedian.
Can you frequent the pro shop infrequently as opposed to often?
I thought he said often.
He did. He said he frequents the pro shop often.
Oh, okay.
Christian Fourier?
Lenny Clark.
Oh, Lenny Clark.
Oh, Lenny Clark.
You didn't answer my question.
Wow.
When you have a call-in segment where you can say, I have a blah, 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 how much is it worth? Because I have something I want to call in.
I think they should have that segment for 10 minutes every show.
But I need an expert. No offense to Christina, but I'm not asking her.
They should have the expert every show for 10 minutes.
I will do a crossover guest appearance because I have an autographed Santa Claus football card from Proline 1990.
What?
I don't know.
A Santa Claus football
card? It was a thing you sent away for a Santa Claus card, but mine came back autographed, and it says, like, number 22 of 200. And I know that it's... Well,
such an idiot.
Children warning. I doubt it's really signed by Santa Claus, but it's autographed. It's a limited edition, and I just want to know what the market
is. Did Andy just say he doubts it was really signed by Santa Claus?
That's because it was a children's warning.
Children's warning! My son could be listening. What is wrong with you?
Are you okay?
The 4-year-old in England... Come on,
listen,
Fred.
Listen, four-year-old.
Hello, Fred.
Listen. That's far worse than any dirty thing we could
listen
ever say.
To me. Four-year-old.
Stop it. Stop it. Don't go there.
England.
Stop it. Stop it.
Every penny.
Kill his mic. Kill his mic.
On
do
those
something.
Toys is from your parents.
Oh, unbelievable.
I have never been more disappointed in you as your mic's not on. Listen, so just so you know,
you're off. La 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 la. No one's listening to Fred.
Did he just say one of the worst things we can do is teach them about Santa Claus for them to have hope, put their faith in something?
Yeah. That
you are the worst.
That you don't earn something.
You deserve Keith Olbermann's worst person in the world right now.
Take away.
Kirsch.
You small government people should realize that we need to teach people you got to earn your stuff. It doesn't get given to you.
Oh, you mean like universal health care?
Exactly.
So it's given to you.
Yeah, so if you believe that,
it's given to you.
Then you shouldn't be teaching kids.
You just told me upstairs that this is going to be a great thing.
I'm talking about you people.
Who's you? You?
I don't like it.
You don't like Santa Claus?
No, I don't like you.
He actually doesn't.
That's right.
Were you kidding me?
Oh, it's Christmas music you don't like.
No, I don't like Christmas music in the middle of November. There's
Fred,
a difference.
I can't believe you just did that.
All right. Let's see. Web
radio
at Patriots.
You just advocated taking away a child's innocence.
Right.
No.
Do you feel good about yourself?
I'm trying to
so
teach
in consecutive
them
days, in consecutive
you're a bad
days.
Person. Bad person.
You have ripped Santa Claus, and now. I can't even
what
say
was
it.
The
on
other the, thing?
I can't even say it on the air, but it pertains to the Xaverian freshman football team. I can't even
that's
say
true.
It. I'm so disgusted.
Oh my God. All right. Webradio at patriots.com is
those
the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. John in Dallas is on the phone. John, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm just sitting here in front of the computer and watching. This is really strange, but I'm watching the US Open. It's a wheelchair match.
What?
Ever seen wheelchair tennis?
No.
No, but it sounds like you're smoking a doobie. You all right there? You're really mellow and laid back.
Yeah, I'm chilling today.
Good.
Wheelchair tennis.
I'm trying to conserve my strength for...
then that's when they smoke it.
I got to think first serve is big in wheelchair tennis.
Yeah, but they get 2 bounces. It's really weird.
Oh.
So,
are they having a real good time?
Fred's really mad about that. Why are they getting special treatment?
Right.
Why
they need to learn not to be free in this world.
Well, I think Fred would probably get three bounces.
Probably would. Even though he's going to have fat wheels.
This is hard to talk about because we don't know for sure what they're going to do. But if they play a 4-3, Pierre Woods has been an outside linebacker in a 3-4. And I don't necessarily think that outside spot is the same. And Andy would be better to talk about this because I think you know a little bit more about specific linebacker play. But the weak side guy in a 4-3 isn't necessarily the same as an outside guy.
It's
in
a little more athletic. And they've had guys here, like Thomas can do it because athleticism.
He's so versatile.
And even Vrabel to some degree. Athleticism was the base of his game. I don't think Pierre Woods is that. He's more of a defensive end playing outside linebacker than a linebacker playing outside linebacker. And I mean, even when we considered him an outside linebacker, we were saying he's an early down, set the edge running guy. It just doesn't necessarily translate to being more off the ball in that 4-3 alignment. And I think they just flat out like Guyton's versatility and athleticism. And, you know, he's Fred Kirsch's rising star, and it looks like they kind of have him on the same track.
So, we see a 3-4 this year. Do we assume that Woods comes in?
I wouldn't say it's safe to assume anything right now.
No, I wouldn't either.
I don't think Woods was has been terribly impressive as a Patriot, period.
Very disappointed.
I mean,
in
I think,
an undrafted player,
yeah,
you're
I
very
mean,
disappointed.
No, I did.
What did he ever do?
He was showing some stuff, you know.
I have not seen anything from him in the 3 years he's been here. No. I think he's a nice story and that
just
he's undrafted.
Just before he broke his jaw, he was looking pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
He's had three starts in 3 years and probably not more than six defensive appearances in 3 years.
I mean, we make fun of Tully Bantakane.
But he played.
He's Pierre Woods on steroids. I mean, he's made actual plays for this team. He had that year we have, whatever, 5.5 sacks. Pierre Woods has been a very good special teamer. I certainly wasn't disappointed in an undrafted player or not.
He hasn't been really part of the defense for the 3 years that he's been here. He was an injury fill-in and welled out into the injury fill-in spot last year, and then he broke his jaw and missed the last couple of games. But I think that people thought, like Andy said, he was a candidate to play on early downs where maybe a Sean Crable might be able to make a step up. Neither of those things has happened. I don't think that that Pierre Woods has established himself as an early down player, and obviously Crable's on IR. So I don't know what they do if they have to go 3-4. I think you're going to see Bantakane and or Burgess playing in different ways if they have to go 3-4 because I don't think they have enough talent out there to go with Adalys Thomas to really get by.
So when are we going to cut bait on Crable and Pierre Woods and bring in a real outside linebacker?
Well, I think they tried a little bit this year. I mean, Jason Taylor, I think they really wanted to come here and play outside linebacker.
I think you
would have seen him do more than you've seen Burgess do in the first month.
I think they were blindsided by the fact that they didn't get Jason Taylor.
Yeah,
I think they really thought they had him.
Yeah.
And I think the comments that Mr. Kraft made publicly, which he rarely does,
right,
would tell me that they really thought that he was coming.
Yeah, and
or 2011 when they have the seventh pick in the draft and they take, like, DeMarcus Ware type.
Yeah,
pick.
I actually forgot about that. But that's a good point, Paul. I really think they thought he was in the bag.
Andy said the same thing.
You're in the bag.
Taylor.
Oh, hey, DeMarcus.
It's kind of like that defense is
going to
go through a transition
here, right?
Phase.
What's that?
DeMarcus Ware?
Yeah. No, I was using his name as an example of an elite edge rusher that you have to get early.
I don't know Dallas's confidence. I mean, I live in Dallas, right? So I don't know Dallas's confidence to re-sign him.
I don't have confidence that the Patriots can win a bidding war for him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if he doesn't get re-signed, I wouldn't expect him to sign with the Patriots.
Start talking about another
$100 million. Why don't the Cowboys pull what the Patriots did on Seymour?
Okay.
I'll give him a 2011 plus a second rounder, one of the second rounders for next year, and we'll take him.
Well, you still have to pay him.
Here's the difference with that. You could make an argument that Seymour has seen better days, and losing him doesn't necessarily preclude your defense from having enough without him to get by. I don't think you can make that argument with DeMarcus Ware. He's at the top of his game right now.
Right.
He's an NFL Defensive Player of the Year candidate. I think that's suicide.
But
I think that completely.
And the next step is everybody says, I can't believe the Raiders would trade for Seymour and not give him an extension. You're in the same position. You're going to have to hand him $70, $80 million, and I'm not sure if the Patriots are willing to do that for DeMarcus Ware. Now, they may be able to get that guy, as I said, with the 2011 first-round pick, who they take seventh in the draft. Now we're under a new CBA, so whatever the landscape is, right, less money. Now you have that guy for 6 years at a relatively decent cost.
But I think you'd feel different. And listen, it's not a perfect comparison, but if Gerard Mayo were somehow in the last year of his deal right now, I think you'd Patriots fans would feel different about that same trade.
Oh,
Mayo,
God, yeah.
Mayo for 2011.
Well, the whole story is we got the best years out of Seymour, and then we still got a one for him.
And the Cowboys are getting right now the best years out of DeMarcus Ware.
And I think they're going to re-sign him.
Well, yeah, I think they'll re-sign him too.
I think he's a great player. I really do. If we could get him, John, yeah. I don't think we'd find too many people more excited than Andy and I, because that's the kind of player that
eyeball
I think
test.
This defense has lacked, that kind of playmaker throughout this whole run.
Fred, he would
and
be
they've
a
been
good,
this good. Imagine how much better they'd be if they had a guy like that.
He's a good guy to bring to your question, Fred. DeMarcus Ware is an elite edge talent who could play here. How much would Bill pay to have him?
I think you would give him one of those contracts. But someone else would give him more.
Somebody will give him more, and in the trade scenario, now he's given up a one and the money. I don't think he'd do that.
Yeah, no,
so,
the trade thing wouldn't work. I'm talking about just as a free agent.
I think somebody will outbid him. Whatever he goes, they'll add $10
million. He can name his price tag, I think.
Weren't we hoping for the same thing out of AD?
Theoretically.
I think that you have some there's some validity
to that.
Bill ponied
up for AD, right? I mean, I know it's going to take more to sign DeMarcus Ware. But.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think while AD has been a productive player, I don't think that they got the production that they were looking for in signing that contract. You know, the
when
comment
they backed
that Bill
the
always,
Brinks truck up.
Yeah, when Bill always makes about that. And also he's been injured. He's missed parts of both seasons that he's been here. So, yeah, I think that that's what they hoped for with AD, but they haven't really gotten it.
One last question for you guys. In the New England offense, what do you guys consider a productive tight end? Like, what does a tight end have to do to be considered productive?
Catch touchdowns.
I just think it's maximizing your opportunities. I mean, if you could catch 20 balls, but you know, were you thrown to 25 times? That's pretty good.
And it's also
it seems like Watson is like a 50-50 proposition.
Right. Yeah. And it's also when you catch them. I always look.
That's true too.
You know, I always think about tight ends catching them on key third downs,
and red zone.
You know what? You gave me and Andy some props. That's a great point.
Okay.
I'm serious.
He's mocking.
Because you know, I personally think few guys have caught more meaningless passes on 3rd and 12 for 6 yards than Benjamin Watson.
Right.
Imagine how many he could have caught.
I think that's a great point. There's a lot. I mean, there's meaningless catches that get racked up. And then there's Wes Welker moving
right.
the chains.
Right.
Torrey Brown moving the chains. I mean, there's a big difference.
I guess in the New England offense, I mean, since we spread the ball so much, right? We spread it quite often, but.
Yeah.
Well, the great thing about.
How can you compare the production of a tight end in RF offense against the production of a tight end in a more tight end?
See, well, that's why he's not going to have 85 catches like Antonio Gates.
What you want in the Patriots offense from a tight end is, you know, Welker, Moss, Galloway. Then all of a sudden, Watson gets down the seam for 30 yards, and the defense is like, oh, crap.
We got to worry about that, too.
Exactly. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, see, I don't hold David Thomas.
More so in third down and red zone. You're right.
Yeah.
Like last year, for instance, John, David Thomas didn't have a productive year. I think he had 9 catches, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't look at David Thomas as saying, geez, what a waste. You know, they had so many opportunities. When the ball was thrown in his direction, he generally caught it. He was asked to block. He wasn't a big part of the offense. I wouldn't hold it against him because he doesn't catch 55 passes like Todd Heap does or some other solid, you know, second-tier tight end. Benjamin Watson, it seems to me, is a 50-50 proposition. Every other time you throw the ball in his direction, right. he'll catch it.
And somehow he figures out how to catch the ball not in a position to gain yards.
He's not a natural pass catcher. That's the bottom line.
Do you remember that one that he was backpedaling toward the side? Like he was like at the hash marks almost when he caught it, and he barely got 2 feet in bounds.
But the problem with Watson is we're comparing him to the offense now. The offense now wouldn't look like the offense now if Watson was who he was supposed to be, which is a game-changing tight end. He was supposed to be a guy that the offense was kind of around because of the mismatches, the athleticism.
Right.
He is supposed to be a guy that's supposed to be a playmaker down the field.
Right.
Because he wasn't that, now all we're looking for is the tight end to fit in with Moss and Welker because right. they made all those changes because the guy they drafted in the first round to be a playmaker never became a playmaker.
That's true.
Hold on a second. You guys just said that to be considered productive, I guess one of the criteria would be catch balls thrown your way, right?
Yes.
Well, just maximize your opportunities. Whatever, you know, if you're asked to block and you don't like this new guy, Michael Matthews, I don't think you'll see him in the passing game too much, but I think he can be productive if he does what he's supposed to do.
Right. So if, okay, just going back to what you said, if one of the criteria is to catch balls thrown your way, maximize your opportunities, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
To me, given the amount of opportunities, I mean, sure, Watson's had probably a ton more than Thomas in the system, but Thomas, to me, has seemed to, when he's healthy anyway, he seemed to maximize what was provided him.
Well, with Thomas, I was surprised they cut him, too.
He had very limited opportunities.
Yeah. They traded him, it seems to me.
Or traded him, right.
Because they wanted to get a block, a specific blocker, and they probably felt that Watson is a better blocker than Thomas, and they decided to do that. Now, look, they traded him for a seventh-round pick, so it's not like they got anything back for him. Maybe New Orleans didn't want Watson. Guy entering the last year of his contract, they kind of probably think the book is closed on him. Whereas Thomas is a guy, like John said, the little opportunity that he's had, he's generally taken advantage of.
Yeah.
They might be able to use him with Drew Brees in that offense. I would think that he'd catch some passes.
Something just came to mind with Watson. We talked about the value sometimes of these guys in the last year of their contract. It provides incentive for them. That might be what they're thinking about with Watson, that, maybe
they can keep him on the field.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll fight through a hamstring pull.
Didn't really work in the preseason.
No.
Well.
So, just last one. What are you guys expecting out of Matthews then this year? I mean, the guy obviously is primarily going to be a blocker, right?
Yeah. That's what he said yesterday.
But we've seen how they're lining up these tight ends in all different formations, and Thomas as a fullback, they need that.
I think he'll be a blocker. I don't think if he caught more than 10 passes, I'd be stunned.
I like to see him used. This is maybe a little fantasy football, but kind of like Brandon Jacobs.
Oh. What? Brandon Jacobs is one of the best running backs in football.
Right, but in terms of, they're comparable in terms of size.
Well, I know, but one's a running back and one's a tight end.
No, I know that, but I'm saying, why couldn't you hand the ball out to Matthews coming out of the backfield?
No.
Can he run with the ball?
I don't know. I think he can.
Why do you think he can? He's a blocker. I mean,
Sebastian Vollmer is a freak too.
Why don't we hand it to him? The age of John Riggins and those Larry Zonka is gone.
Well, there's a reason why Brandon Jacobs is a freak. He's special.
Yeah.
Because of his size, and he still averages 5 yards a carry and can get to the edge. I mean, you don't just, the guy's big, hand him the ball, and he's going to be the next Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm with you on that one, John. But I do agree with your production of the tight ends overall. I do agree with that.
On a less than positive note, so.
It's okay. It was a tremendous call.
Yeah, no, I think that the points about the tight ends are valid.
Who's winning that wheelchair battle?
Yeah, who won the match?
Well, they just switched over now, and now they got Serena and Venus Williams playing a doubles match. And, my God, Venus has put on some weight. I think she's as big as Fred.
You mean Serena?
Yeah, well, they're both huge.
Really? Venus is big? Venus is really
size. My Lord. They're probably, I don't think they're quite as big as Fred, but they're close.
Wow. They look like Fred and Paul.
Fred, taking a lot of shots at you there.
That's all right.
Usually those are directed.
Serena has a bigger chest than I do. I know that.
Hopefully it's not as hairy.
Oh, boy.
It might be, though.
Dude.
She's a man, baby.
All right. Thanks, John. John in Dallas. Hey, what?
I just saw your, was it Odin? Odin or something?
Yeah.
How did you describe her look?
Mosquito bites.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Accurate. First I've seen her, and it was accurate.
Of course, she is only 17.
I don't care.
Oh, that's old enough. I mean, you should have a little development by
then. Yeah, she lost last night.
Yeah.
17?
She's got her clock cleaned.
Mosquito.
What a great interception.
Your card,
that was,
Andy,
by Sean
Shippers
Smith.
Has provided the price according to it's a 1991 Pro-Line football card autographed Santa Claus card, $99.95.
Really?
$100.
Where do you ship that?
That's one of those things. It's worth what I can get somebody to hand me for it, not what some online thing says.
Good point.
Although the value has gone down now that Fred has crushed the hopes of millions upon millions of children.
Did you I know you didn't. Did you happen to see that story about the declining card industry, baseball card industry that was in Sports Illustrated about 3 weeks ago?
No.
It's pretty interesting. I just thought of that when you said, now it's probably not worth anything.
Well, they flooded the market. They ruined that whole industry in the mid-90s.
There was, I forget what the numbers were, but there was something like 5,000 card dealer shops
right around that time when I was in it getting this card.
There are fewer than 500 now.
Because they ruined it.
They went to all these premium sets, and kids couldn't afford it. You didn't just buy packs anymore.
And
every pack had two cards in it, and you paid $7 for the pack.
And it was too much competition. It was, you know, the Fleet and Topps and Donruss and
Proline,
Fleer and all those different ones.
Sorry, we're doing a show.
Let's see. We got a lot
of
emails.
It was Al Michaels
here.
Who just tried to break into the studio.
I'll take Gruden.
Oh, that's right. Al Michaels. We're on Monday Night Football.
All right,
Rudin, I'd take.
Webradio at patriots.com.
I don't know why Mike Tirico is trying to break into the studio.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Let's get to some emails. Marvin from Kernersville, North Carolina says, Paul.
Yes.
Given the lack of depth at linebacker, how do you feel about kicking the tires on Derek Brooks? I know he is not a long-term guy, but he could fill the role Seau did, don't
why
you
is
think?
Why this clown addressing Paul?
Because he knows where to go to for the definitive
for Babel
voice. I love Derek Brooks. I think he's a tremendous, tremendous football player. I'm not sure that
Dick Butkus was good too.
Yeah, I'm not sure. A, there's anything left there, and B, he's never really played in a 3-4. He was a smaller guy, even as a 4-3 guy. But you want to talk about a career, Fred? Go look at his bio someday from Tampa Bay. It's like a 100-time Pro Bowler, Defensive Player of the Year. Just, you know, all kinds of big plays in the passing game, in the running game, forced fumbles, interceptions, touchdowns. Derek Brooks has had a Hall of Fame career. But I'm just, you know, do you think, Andy, anything left there?
I wasn't asked.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Andy is playing the role of Eric in...
I don't know why you've got your boxers in a bunch.
Right.
Boxer briefs.
I just want to tell our listening audience that we do have to do the picks. At 1:30, this is now we're back in picks now. I don't know if we should do the spread.
You're picking your nose.
Well, we can allot less time too because I already made one pick for you. So
okay,
we can.
But
we have to get Eric Scaldino's practice.
I have a feeling
shortly.
If we do the spread, we're going to get in trouble. Should we do the spread?
Why? Now that we're actually embracing gambling and with our partnership with the lottery,
I would think that because of that, now they're looking more closely at it. And then the stuff that's going on in Delaware, that Delaware wanted to allow sports betting. And
why can the real papers put the spreads, pick against the spreads, and we can't?
We're not a real paper.
Part of the league.
Yeah, they're not part of the league.
We're under the umbrella of crap.
I don't know. Maybe.
I'll tell you, editorial content, same rules apply.
But what
that's
doing,
true.
They put rules
Jonathan
out there for
said
what
we can do whatever we want.
We're just doing it for entertainment purposes only.
Exactly. That's why I think we should be able to do it.
Okay.
The editorial content is monitored, same for the other papers. They have their rules apply to the other papers just as well as they apply to us. They control what you can and can't report.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Easy. Comes out smooth.
Ian from Scotland says, I just want to get to this email before we get to the break. First of all, keep Christina in a job, but please no more shop talk. How she tolerated discussions about how they have pizza day every Wednesday and random conversations about what actors they would have in their own imaginary comedy movies, I have no idea. They were completely naive to the size of the international audience as they repeatedly suggested drop into the pro shop to potentially meet players and Hall of Famers. They were also very sketchy on any actual relevant information like international shipping rates, saying it was set at a high rate, but if it turns out to be lower, they reimburse the difference. Seems like a bizarre shipping policy to me. Needless to say, I won't be listening to Shop Talk again. Fool me once, shame on you. Oh, come on, Ian. Give him another chance. Really.
That is something that I mentioned to them after the show was that, it's radio. So saying, hey, look at this hat that you're holding in your hand doesn't do much for the listener radio.
They were doing that.
Explain it and remember
you,
that there's...
You need the video.
You mean
for that.
You actually have to have some skill to do this?
No.
No, I don't think so.
We've disproved that there.
Right.
But
I give B-Lo some credit, though.
How much is international shipping? A lot.
Give B-Lo
that was their answer.
Credit,
I could have given that one.
No, they said they started at like $75, and if to actually get it to you, it costs less than that, then they'll mark it down. But their blanket that they get from the post office or whoever sends it is.
I gotta
you give me $75. I'll let you know how much change you get.
But I got to think that that's standard, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't do a lot of international receiving.
Okay.
I don't either.
Yeah. But I got to give B-Lo
I buy American.
For going out and getting a guest.
Yeah.
He has a guy from Roto World, whatever. I don't know what that's. I'm not big in the fantasy football circles, but
you're big in these circles.
You need to have. You need to have something. You need to have somebody to.
Well, they had three guests on that other show.
Yeah, I know, but
they were talking about pizza and their
not really
comedy.
Guests. It's kind of co-hosts.
What?
They weren't really guests.
Christina's the host, and each week you're going to bring in new people. They're guests.
Except for they don't have anybody planned for week two.
It may be a rotating cast of characters.
Can you say Brian Morey?
I still put the over-under at 2 weeks for how long that show lasts.
No,
we got more emails over there, Freddie?
I get a lot.
Pretty soon, Andy's just going to rip the whole entire organization.
Well, you got that marketing department, Fred. You know what goes on there.
It's like an orgy.
Peter, talking about DeMarcus Ware, we actually just talked about that, so we're on the same track. Let's see.
We're not going to read.
Chris with a TIN says that he also gets off on Christina's laugh.
Jeez.
Whoa.
There you go.
Cherry pie?
We mean that in a nice way.
What?
It's infectious.
I hope not.
Oh, see now.
Don't they have a cream for that?
All he can think about is, you know. Mike in Charlotte says, I don't hear anyone talking about Jarvis Green being a bigger part of the defense this year. Is there a reason he doesn't get more reps?
Paul
seems to make plays when he's on the field. Has he ever played as an every down player when there were injuries to other linemen?
Yes, he's played a lot as an every down player in place of Seymour, as a matter of fact, also in place of Warren. I think he's one of those diminishing returns guys, Andy. I don't know how you feel about
it. He's coming off a not very good year.
Terrible year.
In his normal role, kind of, as a fill-in and a backup and filling in for Warren and different things. So I think he's kind of peaked. He is what he is, and to expect him to come out there, play every down or play the Richard Seymour role and have this, you know, extrapolate his numbers beyond what he's done in the past, I think is a little bit pie in the sky, all too hopeful.
Yeah, I mean, he
had... Not to mention Paul wanted to cut him.
Listen, it wasn't out of the realm of possibility.
No. We had the right position and the right idea, just wrong guy.
Yeah, he had a really bad year last year, only 2 sacks. For a guy who that's basically all he's coming in on is passing downs. 2 sacks in 14 games. He's been fairly productive. 57 tackles in back-to-back seasons in 06 and 07, 7.5 sacks in 06, 6.5 in 07. So there was a big drop-off last year.
Oh, yeah.
Now, maybe he can get back to that. I don't know. But I think he's a good, solid role player, but I think he's a diminishing returns guy.
And we've seen it in short stretches. We've seen games where we go, uh-oh, they found Jarvis Green, run. So it's going to bear watching as to, we talked about it yesterday, how they unfold the playing time and the roles and try to keep other teams from taking advantage of some of their weaknesses that they may have on the field on defense. I think Mike Wright's in the same role. I don't feel great about him playing, all the time. Even though he's a bigger guy and theoretically they play him at nose some and he's more stout.
I really don't feel good about him being a nose. I think he's better on the edge. Even if it was a tackle in a 4-man front, I feel better about that than the nose. And he talked about that with you about, with Vince and Brace. Those guys are so big and strong. They just, the leverage they get.
Called him a tree stump.
He can't do that.
Right. He
just doesn't have the physical ability. He's just smaller.
Plays at 290, 295.
But he's fast. His edge is that he's very athletic for those guys, and he is strong.
I mean, pretty impressive.
He's a great. I think he's a terrific athlete for that size.
He's one of those guys who'll never be.
No.
But
we talked about Vollmer
on the street. If you saw him and just like if you were just putting on an athletic skills competition, strength, jump, speed, he's a freak. Unfortunately, it doesn't necessarily translate into a great NFL player, like a game changing. Yeah. He fills a role, and I think he does a good job in that. But again, if that role includes playing a lot, I think you might see diminishing returns again.
And that's why I think we all feel like this won't be one guy. It'll be a variety of guys that are trying to fill in for Richard.
Kyle in Wakefield, New Hampshire says, I just watched an Around the Table segment on NFL Network, and Mariucci, and of all people, Marshall Faulk picked the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl. I don't know if someone got to Faulk, but he was pretty much praising Brady, saying how he can't imagine how good Brady will be after sitting and watching this year. If Marshall Faulk likes our chances, I think we all should. And P.S. Paul, I'm a UNH student, and I'm looking forward to seeing us kick Northeastern's ass on October 31st.
You can book that one.
Yeah, I heard up in the office some of the younger ladies that work in the office know some people on the BC team, and they were talking about the game with them, I guess, and just couldn't believe how the lopsided nature of that game. Score, but just the on-field action.
They quit.
Literally
35 seconds into the game,
right.
They quit.
Said they'd never seen anything like
that. I have to take something back that I said to Paul.
I have to take something back that I said to Paul. I said that Paul approaches sports coldly, except for Northeastern. Take that back. Even Northeastern, he will rip apart.
Well, he should. If they deserve ripping, they deserve ripping.
I know. But he
because sitting there and just
saying... They haven't even started the season. They play one game against a team they shouldn't be playing.
You're right. They haven't started the season. They didn't show up to the first game.
And now they're going to lose every game on the schedule.
As of right now, I'm planning on going on Saturday if I can get a babysitter because I can't take both kids because that's just chaos at this point.
Yeah.
And Beth is
Plus,
working.
You need to save up, store up the time for the tournament in Virginia, wherever you go, Maryland. What?
No, Beth is working.
I know. Oh, anyway, go.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
So I'm still going. This is where you and I separate. I don't think it does the team any good. Right. Now, listen, at the pro level, it's different because what you do and what you think is different. But from a college level where you support a team, especially a smaller level team that the Perillo family not going is noticeable
right
to the people who are in charge. If you just sit there, rah, rah, go State U, I mean, you're not helping the cause when they lose 54-0. That's not helping anything. They need to make changes. They need to do things differently than they're doing now if they expect to win. They had a coach previous to this one with the same hurdles to overcome, a high school football stadium in the middle of Brookline that went to the playoffs and won the Atlantic 10 title in 2002. Same guy, same team, same everything. This guy comes in, we can't win because we don't have A, B, and C.
Right.
Well, maybe because we have you, we can't win.
Okay.
Wow.
Let's see. Not So Hot Amy writes this. At Real Patriots Twitter account has just tweeted that the Patriots announced the 09 team captains, Tom Brady, Randy Moss, Vince Wilfork, Gerard Mayo, and Sam Aiken.
Mayo.
So those are the captains for this year. And he also wants to know, what do you guys think of Mayo being a captain in his second year?
Try not to burp again.
That's okay. Second-year player, has there ever been a captain before the patch that was not a QB?
Actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
Well, they're all captains. Brady's a captain, right? So,
I am not surprised.
Second-year, he wants to know if a second-year player has ever been
other
a captain.
Other than a quarterback.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
Brady wasn't a captain in his second year.
Yeah,
I don't know the answer to that question.
But I'm not surprised.
No. First of all, they've been forcing it, basically, I mean, from the start of training camp. Well, he's got to. He's got to take on more of a lead. The players have said it.
He's
talked about it. I mean, that's clearly been a
But I'm
goal.
Also, just the way it unfolded with both Belichick and Brewski, and the way they've approached everything, Mayo, he has rubbed everyone in this organization the right way from day one.
And I think it's also really good that Wilfork got picked as a captain. So, I mean, if there's any doubts in his mind that, you know, he has an obligation to his team, it's magnified now because now he's their captain.
So who were they again? Was Brady, Moss?
Brady, Moss, Wilfork.
Wilfork.
Mayo. And I deleted it.
So. Aiken.
And Aiken.
And Aiken.
Yeah, the special teams guy.
Hmm.
Yeah. I would also go the other way with that. Not just that he has an obligation, but the team is acknowledging the fact that he has fulfilled his obligations shown up remained a member of the team.
That's a good
point. How about him over Warren?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say Warren shouldn't be a captain, but there's not a part of me that says he needs to be a captain.
No, I don't think anybody needs to be a captain with the exception of... To me, the quarterback. I think if you're a good team, I think your quarterback inherently needs to be a good leader.
And so generally works the middle linebacker.
I would say that too.
So
but I think it's
those
really,
two are filled. You got your special teamer, and then your extras are Wilfork and Moss, who quite the budding friendship there. I see those two together a lot.
You definitely need to have your quarterback be a part of, you know, your core group of leaders.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see. It's 1:26. We need to take a break. When we come back, it is going to be time to do our first Around the NFL picks, and we'll do that right away.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush, but you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in Progress.
Thanks, Rich, for that intro. And as we do every year and every week during the season, we go around the NFL on Thursdays and do our picks. Eric's here, so just quickly before we get into that, Eric, yep. Why don't you give us the practice report?
Well, thanks to a fine team effort by all of us in the media, we were able to get attendance confirmed for the whole team, even though they're still wearing those foolish red jerseys without the numbers.
Sweet!
According to Stacey James, by the way, they're doing that because they want the quarterbacks and other players, obviously, to get used to seeing the red.
Makes sense.
But they're not putting the numbers on because the defense is going to wear them on the 2 weeks that we're playing the legacy road games, and they're going to be wearing.
Okay, now you've lost me. But anyway,
so, I told you that.
Doubling up on the jerseys.
That's what I was telling
jerseys,
you about
but
last
not
week.
Enough to do
when?
Two
I mean,
both
yesterday,
squads.
Not last
all right,
week.
Quickly.
Matthew Slater. You asked why they didn't.
All right, wait.
Josh.
What are you announcing?
Matthew Slater, the only one who wasn't there. Everybody else was there.
Matthew Slater wasn't there.
So today, we will be receiving an injury report at 4 o'clock.
Yes. 4 o'clock, Patriots.com. Check it for the latest injury report. I'm sure they'll tweet it out. You want to be following at Real Patriots in the Twitter.
So that means Julian Edelman, Terrence Wheatley, and Myron Pryor were all back at practice.
I saw Pryor today. I gave him the Andy Hart, Paul Perillo locker room test, eyeball test. He looked fine.
And I saw Edelman.
And by the way, this is my last chance on the radio show to remind people you want to be playing Fantasy Forecast on Patriots.com. It's part of our Facebook page. You go to the Facebook page, Facebook.com/New England Patriots. Click on the Fan Zone tab and play Fantasy Forecast. You got to get your picks in, or your predictions, I should say, before the game on Monday. So go to Facebook.com/New England Patriots.
Check it out.
All right.
Check it out.
So before we get to this week's picks, Paul, what happened last year?
Fred, you won.
Okay.
You're the
all
best.
Right, let's get to this week's pick now.
all right. Andy Hart, you going to lead us off again as usual?
Bum, 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 bum.
I'll announce it.
Okay. I'm sorry.
The first game of
you
the week.
You just take it down, Steno boy.
Yeah.
I just have to be the pigeon that does all the work.
First game of the week, obviously, is tonight. It is at Pittsburgh. Tennessee is a 6.5-point underdog.
6 points. We're going by Herald spreads. We're going to stay consistent. 6 points.
All right. I was using what Doc gave me, but Paul will do the spread.
Not surprising you got incorrect information from Doc.
Ouch.
All right. So
look like a legitimate gambling site.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Is that one of those gambling sites?
That's supposed to be blocked by our IT department.
Tennessee at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh by six.
The half point is irrelevant to Andy. I'll take Pittsburgh to win, cover, big open. The Tennessee Titans take a step back this year. They lost the centerpiece of the middle of their defense, and I think that centerpiece could have taken advantage of some issues along the offensive line for the Steelers. That helps out the Steelers.
Astute analysis, Andy.
Plus, it's Thursday night, and any drinker knows that's a big night to go drinking, so Kerry Collins will have a step back.
Not a very astute comment right there. Matter of fact,
that's gratuitous.
Not even borderline inappropriate.
That's the kind of stuff.
We're worried about the spreads.
All right, relax. In all seriousness, I think Collins is going to have a step-back year. I don't think he's going to have a great year. And I think the Titans in general will follow that lead, and your Pittsburgh Steelers march to a big opening night victory.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk. Eric Scalavino.
So you're both ways with Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Okay, Eric.
I'm going to, even though they're grossly overrated with their quarterback, I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
You know, and the number.
Two rings, 4 years.
Worthless hot dog.
So yet another Super Bowl has done nothing to eliminate that.
They win
this time he actually did something.
I do think there's an overrated element.
If it weren't for San Antonio Holmes, they would never have won that game.
Yeah, because no one threw the pass.
I do think there's an element that is overrated in Pittsburgh, and it is?
Rashard Mendenhall?
Yes.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Mendenhall's not overrated. He's not rated.
He's not rated.
The defense, I think, is very good. I don't think it's I just feel like there are ways to beat it. Unfortunately, I don't think Tennessee has
How often do they get tested?
I think you spread them out, and this is why I think Tom Brady makes all the difference in the world against Pittsburgh, because when they spread them out, Matt Castle couldn't do the things that Tom Brady does.
Right.
And that's where I think that Pittsburgh can be vulnerable. We saw it a little bit with Arizona last year, and I read something that Don Banks wrote in his power rankings, and I totally agreed with it. I will take Pittsburgh to win this game because, I don't think Tennessee has enough weapons to maybe take advantage of that, but I like the Titans to cover.
Okay. I'm going to take Pittsburgh both ways on the game.
Analysis?
You guys said it all.
All right. Sunday.
Swede and Mendenhall, sophomores, take off.
We only have 25 minutes.
Andy,
left.
I mean, Fred
we'll
likes to.
I'm going
to
hurry. Change.
Fred likes to give you all of the details of the game. So Sunday at 1, the first game that we'll actually get to watch on Sunday, because we don't open until Monday.
You'll get to watch.
Are you just washing your hands of the NFL this weekend, too?
Maybe.
Wow. See, I wash my hands.
No, if it's nice, I'll be doing something.
I wash my hands at the Monday night games, but Sunday, well, I mean, what else are you going to do? Come on.
If it's nice, I'll be out on the boat or at the beach or doing something.
On the boat?
I'll be
you
one.
Have a boat now?
Shut up.
Andy's got a boat?
He has a yacht.
Oh, my God.
I do not have a yacht.
That's unbelievable.
What game is next?
Miami is at Atlanta, and what should be a pretty interesting matchup of division winners from last year.
Very interesting matchup, Paul, and to see Falcons
by four.
Is a fraud. And who is going to continue building a winning way. I'm going to say that the Miami Dolphins are the fraud in this. Did you see Joey Porter as a captain? Can you imagine that? Joey Porter. Captain. I'm going to say that even though they have a retooled secondary, I'm going to say Matt Ryan gets off to a nice start. Where's the game?
At Atlanta, Falcons by four.
Matt Ryan wins and covers, squeaks it out. I think it'll be a good, hard-fought game. Tony Gonzalez is the difference. I like that addition for a young quarterback to have a binky like that to throw to. He's going to be a key addition to that offense.
Yeah, people sometimes overdo the whole sophomore slump thing. I don't think Matt Ryan is going to fall into that category. I think he's a good quarterback. He's going to have a good year, and I think he's going to do it starting off against a very overrated Miami team. And I'm going to take Atlanta and the number.
Yeah, I actually like Miami, and I think that they are not a fraud team. I think there's a good chance that they take a step back just because of, how many, interesting ways they found to win games last year, taking advantage of a soft schedule. Much more difficult schedule this year. Much like we say with the Patriots, that whole revamped secondary, I think, was good moves. but it's probably going to take some time to come together. I do look for Matt Ryan. I agree with you, Eric. I think there will be no sophomore slump for him, much like we'll talk about with Baltimore with Joe Flacco. I think those guys are the real deal. I like the Falcons here, but I don't think the Dolphins season is over. I think the Dolphins will be 8-8, 9-7 in contention, and I think they'll be in it. I don't think they'll be a train wreck like a lot of people are predicting.
Well, the difference with their secondary is they have Jason Taylor and Joey Porter up front on opposite ends.
That's a good point.
I mean, that'll cover up some weaknesses that may occur early in the year.
But they drafted the kid out of Illinois, Vontae Davis. They also took Sean Smith, who I didn't really like out of Utah, but where they got him, I think, was good value. It was a later pick. It wasn't a first-round pick. I think that that's going to come together for them, and they really needed to do some work in the secondary because they were weak in that department.
I'll be rooting for Atlanta, but I actually think Miami wins this game. So, obviously, that means I'm going both ways with Miami.
Wow. Interesting, Freddie. Next up is, we just talked about Baltimore and Joe Flacco. Kansas City is at Baltimore where the Ravens, get this, guys, are favored by 13 points.
Ooh.
Last year they were a double-digit underdog in their first game. This year, double-digit favorite.
I will take the Ravens to win, but I'll take the points. I don't know enough earlier in the year. I'm not comfortable with the Ravens blowing people out, and that's a big number.
Who's he going to throw the ball to?
So Flacco.
Flacco's got Clayton and Mason.
And a resurgent Todd Heap, healthy for the first time in years.
Good two-prong rushing attack with Ray Rice. And
I think Heap is a big addition, just like I said for Matt Ryan. If Heap is healthy again, he can be a nice friend for a guy like Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray Rice kind of has taken over as their lead running back. I think they're going to be a good football team. I just think, A, the style, I don't think they're ever going to be a high-flying offense. And, B, I just don't know enough to give up that many points early in the year. Mm-hmm.
I was a year early on my Ray Rice prediction. I had him as Offensive Rookie of the Year last year, and he's having the breakout year this year, it looks like.
Whoa. Let's get out of the preseason before you anoint yourself right.
He's taken over the starting role from Willis McGahee.
And he also wasn't bad last year either. He just, you know, he didn't have a huge impact like some other rookies like Forte.
Looks like guy was right, breakout year. Has he played a down yet?
Anyway, I agree with you, though, Fathead. I think
this
Baltimore
is why
wins.
Fred gets mad at us that we're not going to finish.
And we always do.
Somehow. Baltimore wins, but the number's a little high. We don't even know Castle's status yet, do we? Is he really out or
he's
not?
Back in,
he's back in practice.
He practiced on a limited basis yesterday.
I think they'll be competitive, but Baltimore wins.
I like Baltimore, and I'm going to lay the points here. I agree with Andy and Eric's reasoning, but Castle's injury concerns me going against that defense. Not a good team to try to get healthy against. And I do think this is going to be a different offense, and I think another one that I read somewhere recently, Cam Cameron opened it up this summer in an effort to see what they had with Flacco, and he really, I thought, showed that he can be that guy. That third preseason game, I think he went 23 for 28 for 230 some odd yards. I know it's preseason, you can't read a lot into that, but clearly they want to be a little bit more open offensively. I think they are going to score some points this year, and I think the defense will be very good as well. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think Kansas City is very good.
Yeah, I think Baltimore wins that AFC division that they're in, the North or whatever they are, Central.
That AFC division that they're in.
I think they're going to be better than Pittsburgh this year. So, but I agree with Andy and Eric. I just think it's too early to be laying that many points. So I'm going to go with Baltimore and Kansas City.
That means
to
I'll have to change a pick later on. We'll see if that ends up coming to fruition. Anyway, Philadelphia is going to travel.
13. What's Patriots? 11.
Philadelphia is going to travel to Carolina, where the Panthers are one of just two home underdogs, as far as I can tell here. The Eagles are a road favorite, giving 1.5. Should be an interesting game. Two of the better on paper teams in the NFC.
Very interesting game. Is D'Angelo Williams healthy?
Fred?
I don't know.
Thought you had like the injury thing open.
Are you kidding? This never gives me the injuries.
My laptop keeps
besides, there's
failing.
No reports yet, so they don't know.
No, everybody else
has
Wednesday, reports.
Oh, Wednesday, yeah, the other teams had to.
Okay, I'll just pick the Eagles. I think they're going to have an explosive offense. I think they have playmakers. I'm intrigued to see how it all plays out. I know Vic's not a part of it yet, but I'm just talking about some of the young guys we saw, Macklin and DeSean Jackson, Brian Westbrook. I think they have the pieces. I think they're going to get off to a good start. I think they fade later in the year. I'm not sold on McNabb's psyche.
Let's see. Injuries for the Eagles. Kevin Curtis with a knee. King Dunlap with an elbow. Moise Foku with a shoulder.
How about Carolina?
Just Chris Harris with a shin.
Okay, because
I know he was dealing with some stuff, and obviously that's the key to their offense at this point now is the two-headed attack in the backfield.
Not sold on Jake Delhomme?
I'm not sold.
After his last game?
Jake Delhomme and the Panthers in general, last year they were in the playoffs, which means they're due for a down year. It starts out in week one.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think very much of Carolina. I think Philly's got an interesting offense, as we talked about. I think you're right. Later in the season, they might tank a little bit, but for now, going up against a weak Carolina team, I'll take Philly and the points.
Yeah, and I will also take Philadelphia with and give the point and a half, whatever. Andy's point, I think, is valid, too. I think that there's a good chance that offense gets off to a good start in Philly, especially because Vic can't play. I think your fragile psyche of McNabb, well, the fact that he's out for those three games, I think there's nothing to whine about. There's nothing to look and put
well,
your
there'll
palms,
be something.
There's nothing to put your palms in the air about. We're trying to get into a flow offensively here, right, and you're taking me out. There's no possibility of that in the first 3 weeks, barring an injury to McNabb. So I think that'll help him.
I think it's the opposite. I think that McNabb throws two interceptions, one of them in a key time in the game, and even though Vic can't play right away, everyone starts thinking towards that, and it really hurts the Eagles. I'm looking for the Panthers to cover and win.
Okay.
I like how you've uncrumpled your crumpled paper.
Denver, in the Josh McDaniels regular season debut, Andy, travels to Cincinnati, where it looks like the game will not be televised, by the way. Bengals are favored by 4.
Holy mackerel.
I'll take the Bengals.
How the mighty have fallen.
Bengals to win and cover.
Underdogs against the Bengals.
I'm going to pull an Andy Hart here and base this on like 15 minutes of football I watched in the preseason, of which Josh McDaniels' offense could not get out of its own way. They didn't throw the ball more than 4 yards past the line of scrimmage, didn't have more than 4 straight plays without a penalty. I don't know what's going on with the ship in Denver, but I am going to say that Ocho Cinco and Chad Palmer, nope, not Chad, Carson Palmer, get off to a good start. The Bengals may not be a good football team, but I like some of the pieces they have on both sides of the ball, and they're going to win this one easy.
Did you guys see the report that Brandon Marshall and the Broncos secretly are trying to get a deal worked out?
Yep. Yeah.
That's disastrous.
With who?
I think.
Well, there's a writer in – Adam Schefter and La Canfora there are saying that they're meeting to try to talk extension, and then a Denver Post guy, Mike Kliss, I think his name is saying
that's
that
Kliss.
Hasn't happened. I can always count on so you awful. To fill in the blank. What do you want?
I'm just not sold on Cincinnati until I see them win some games. I'll go with the Broncos.
I am not liking this game at all. I am going to take Cincinnati because Andy's points, but I do think the Bengals are going to be better defensively. I think I think they've made some additions and finally might have some pieces in place to have a decent defense, which they haven't really had since Carson Palmer's been there. But I don't think either one of these teams is going to be very good. I'll just take the Bengals at home.
Yeah, this is a very difficult game. I think it all depends on whether or not Denver gets some good play out of the quarterback there.
And he's iffy for the opener.
So I don't know. This is what I think is going to happen. I think Denver wins the game. I think everybody in Denver says, hey, things are going to be all right. And then they're just going to fall flat on their face from there. So I think they're going to pull this game out, and then for the rest of the season they're going to stink.
The biggest question is, what's Chad Ochocinco's big tweet surprise?
Does he have plans? So we'll see.
And is he suspended for week two after his week one tweeting?
Well, I'll tell you, with the help of the media, Ochocinco sure knows how to raise interest to anything he's doing, you know?
All right, there are three actual home underdogs, and this is the second of the three. Minnesota is at Cleveland, where the Browns are getting 4 points at Cleveland Brown Stadium.
God, I'd love Cleveland to win this game.
They won't. Eric Mangini, as I said to Paul, causes more problems than he fixes with all his antics, not naming quarterbacks, not telling everybody.
It's foolish.
He's a clown.
I just don't understand why people care so much.
The Minnesota Vikings will get off to a fast start, much like the Eagles, and then fade later in the year. Brett Favre may not make it through 16 games, but he'll make it through week one. Adrian Peterson will run all over that defense, and they get off to one of those storybook starts that everybody will be raving about. Yeah. Eric will vomit.
I hate to
change my pick now.
I hate to do it, but for the second time in this go-around here, I'm going to have to pick a team whose quarterback I despise. The Vikings are just too good a team right now.
You don't like Brady Quinn?
Oh, I do like Brady Quinn.
Wait a minute. You put Roethlisberger and Favre in the same despicable category?
Okay, maybe that's a little harsh for Roethlisberger, but
a little?
Yeah. In any event, I'll take the Vikings to win this.
Did you meet him at a casino once?
I'm going with
the advantage of you.
I'm going with the upset here, Freddie. I think the Browns.
Never been an apology. He's just looking for an apology.
I think the Browns at home. I don't think they're that bad of a team, and I still think the AFC is better than the NFC. I think the Vikings are overrated in general, not because of Favre. I just think it's an overrated team. Adrian Peterson absolutely is the real deal, and if I'm wrong, then Andy's right about they won't be able to stop Peterson. But I say that they put, you know, 8 in the box. They limit his big plays and put it on Favre, and I don't think he'll do it. So I'm going to pick an upset.
Tom Curran says Peterson's ready to be a star.
I know. That's true.
I think that's pretty brave of you, Paul. I think Minnesota has built a pretty
fine line
solid
between brave
team.
And dumb.
And you know, in
you
the
don't walk it.
No. In the trenches, Minnesota might be one of the more solid teams in the NFL, and because of that reason, that's going to allow Adrian Peterson to run the ball, and it's going to stop anything Cleveland's trying to do. I got to go with Minnesota to cover.
All starts
this game.
Up front, Paul.
Yeah, I think the most overrated element in those two defensive tackles, that big fat tubs of goo.
You hate the Williams bros?
Yep.
I think they do all right. Let's keep going. We're running out of time.
Didn't look so good against the Patriots. Anyway.
Who?
The two Williams guys.
It's because it was spread out.
Exactly. That's all you got to do.
I'm not sure the Browns are capable.
Jets at Houston, where the Texans are favored by 4.5. Anyone? Bueller?
Sorry, I was reading that accused drunk driver throws keg from speeding car. what was the game?
Wow.
Jets
of all the dumb of all the dumb things that I did when I was like in college, never once did I drive around drinking from a keg.
We threw one into the wall in my apartment in college.
Blue, you're my boy!
So it's got a story.
What was the game again?
Jets at Houston, where the Texans are favored by 4.5. Looks like Schaub is fine, by the way.
Schaub is fine, which is
Mark
key.
Mark Sanchez making his NFL debut, regular season debut.
So dirty.
That was dirty.
Dirty Sanchez?
That's three for him now.
I am going to take the Is Robinson playing?
Robinson.
Has he shown up?
Dante,
Donta, whatever.
Oh, yeah, one-year contract. I don't know if he's going to play. Dunza. He's got a roster exemption,
okay.
So I don't know if he's ready to play. Remember, much like Asante Samuel a couple years ago for the Patriots.
The New York Jets. They come out flying thanks to their head coach, getting them all riled up. I'm sure he'll have some great pregame speech. The players, a lot of new faces on that team. Obviously on defense, kind of bringing the Ryan system, Bart Scott, Paul's boy Jim Leonard. Making plays all over the field. So I think they get it done opening week.
I disagree. I think the Jets are going to be grounded. Their coach, their coach is a clown. Houston's a good team. Gary Kubiak's got that that team playing pretty well, I think. I'm going to go with Houston. Give the points away.
I think it's just going to take a little time for the Jets to get on. It's so hard for a rookie quarterback. I think the Jets have some pieces in place. They're going to be missing some of those pieces on opening day, however, with Calvin Pace and Sean Ellis both missing from the defense. I like Houston to win the game, but I'll take the Jets to cover 4.5. I like that that field goal game.
Yep.
Houston will win the game, but the Jets will cover.
Paul, you took the words out of my mouth. I think Sanchez is going to be a real good quarterback in this league, but it doesn't come that easy to him. The Jets cover, but they lose.
All right, Andy, Jacksonville travels to Indianapolis, where they seem like they play Indy early in the season every year, first week or two every year. Colts by 7.
I am really curious to see what the Indianapolis Colts are going to be this year. The coaching change, multiple coaching changes, the Marvin Harrison gone, Bob Sanders not on defense.
The Marvin Harrison? Are you Fred all of a sudden?
Yes. I really don't know what the Colts are, and that's a weird feeling because generally you just go into the year, I'll take the Colts early because they're a good team.
You don't know who they're going to be this year.
But I'm still going to take them over the Jags. I don't like the Jags, have never liked the Jags. I think their nickname is perfect. Jags. David Garrard, Jag starting quarterback, Jag head coach, and the guy who keeps getting extensions despite being a Jag.
Their defense is Del Rio.
So when in doubt, my rule is generally take either Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. So in this one, I'll go Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I think their defense is Del Rio.
Eric?
Yeah.
Cats will be skinned. I thought you were going to go with lame jokes for all of them now.
Let's go. Let's keep the pace up. Come on.
We might actually run out of time.
Fred's getting nervous. Hurry up.
I like Indy. Jacksonville's a bad team. Indy's a decent team. They'll win by more than 7.
I agree with everything Andy said in terms of the uncertainty about Indy, but until they prove the uncertainty is warranted, I'll take the Colts. I'll lay the points.
Yeah, I'll take the Colts both ways. I think Jacksonville's going to be the weak link in that AFC South.
The AFC division that they're in.
Right.
Well, the Your boy Schwartzy trying to get off the schneid in Detroit. Break a, I think it's a 17-game losing streak, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 18. They play at New Orleans, where the Saints are favored by 13 points.
I will take the Saints to win and cover. You don't turn over a roster that quickly, and you have a guy who's going to throw picks for touchdowns in Matthew Stafford. Not sold on Stafford as an NFL quarterback. Very much not sold on Matthew Stafford as an NFL quarterback week one of rookie season. Very simple. Take the high-scoring offense in the Saints to put up big points.
Saints will do what they did last year, score a lot of points. Drew Brees will throw the ball around a lot. Have
to Dave
some high
Thomas.
Numbers. Yeah, Dave Thomas might catch a few passes. And Stafford's going to have a rough start getting going. Saints.
I think
both ways.
I think similar about this situation, what Fred and I said about Sanchez. I think Stafford is going to be a good quarterback. It's very tough to do it immediately out of the gates the way Matt Ryan did last year. Throwing all those TD passes in the week one, but if I'm not mistaken, that was against Detroit. So
and Lee Bodden?
He doesn't have that going for him this week. I'll lay the points with the Saints. Even though it's a lot of points in week one, I'll lay them.
Yep, Saints both ways.
Andy, the last of the
last of
the home dogs, Andy. Dallas is at Tampa Bay where the Buccaneers are getting six at the fake sombrero.
I have no confidence in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at all and their man, Raheem Morris. So I will take the Dallas Cowboys. One of the Emmitt Smith criticisms was that Roy Williams is not a number one receiver in this league. I don't think that's fair, but I don't think they need a true number one this week to beat up on Tampa. I think they're the far better team, win big. And we know they like to lay it on in Dallas.
I like Dallas to win big, too.
Yeah, I like Dallas in this one. I just think Tampa's going to be one of the two or three worst teams in football. I'll lay the points.
Same here.
San Francisco is at Arizona. Andy Hart, 6.5 points the Cardinals are favored by the defending NFC champs.
6.5 points. I will take the Cardinals to win, but I'll take the points. Internal fussing and bussing and mussing about no focus in the preseason and all that. I'm not sold on the Cardinals as going in the right direction long term.
This has Super Bowl loser jinx written all over it.
And it starts right here. You have those week one surprises. San Francisco is the team without a quarterback and the bad team. They get the job done and keep it close. They don't get the victory, but get the moral victory in my book.
Can't do it.
Can't pick them.
No, I'm going to go with Arizona. I think they're the better team, and I think if they do have that Super Bowl loser
jinx,
it's not going to happen in week one.
So you're laying the points?
Cardinals lay the points.
Yeah, I'm going with Andy. I think Arizona's the better team. They'll find a way to win the game, but San Francisco will keep it close.
By the end of the year, Matt Leinart's going to be the quarterback in Arizona. I'm going to pick San Francisco both ways in this game.
Oh, upset special.
The only guy
Fred Kirsch.
With the true cojones right there.
Washington is at the Giants, and which should be another boring NFC East game. The Giants are favored by 6.5.
I'll take the Giants to win and cover. They don't have Michael Matthews to run the football, but they do have Brandon Jacobs. So I will take Brandon Jacobs, Eli Manning, and the New York Giants to win and cover.
Yeah, the Giants are my pick to go to the Super Bowl from the NFC, so I'll have to pick them in week one over the division rivals.
I also like the Giants. I think they're the best team in the NFC.
I agree with that, but I think Washington, NFC East, very competitive. They will cover, although the Giants win.
St. Louis travels to Seattle, Andy. Matt Hasselbeck is back and healthy. Jim Mora Jr. making his debut with the Seahawks. Seahawks by 8.5. Big number.
Wow. I don't love this game in any way. I don't think either team is a playoff competitor.
St. Louis still has a team.
But I'll take Seattle to win, and I'll take the points.
I'll agree with you, young Andy. I like Seattle in this game. It's not a great game, but I'll take Seattle.
I think the Seahawks win the NFC West, but I'm not willing to lay 8.5 points in week one with a team I don't really know anything about. I will take the Seahawks, and I'll take the points with St. Louis.
Yeah, I'm with Lawyer. Paul. That's why Seattle doesn't cover. Malloy misses a key tackle at the end of the game.
John, are you listening to this nonsense? Okay.
He's ignoring
you
us.
Chicago is at Green Bay. NFC Norris battle. Packers by 3.5.
Norris.
The Green Bay Packers win and win big. They are the best team in the National Football Conference. Jay Cutler throws two picks. The honeymoon is over in Chicago, and you will see defense, offense, Aaron Rodgers, running game from Ryan Grant. Packers are a team to beat.
You're a fool, not just because of what you just said, but Jay Cutler comes out, has a great game. The Packers are overrated. Packers Bears win, take the points.
Okay.
Wait a minute. You hate Roethlisberger and like Cutler?
No, but I'm saying in this game, he's going to have a good one.
I'm with Andy, although not so much with the best team in the NFC nonsense. I think Green Bay is primed to have a bounce back year for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I think he played pretty well last year and was let down by the cast.
Yeah.
Everybody gets up to speed. I take Green Bay and I'll give the points.
I think Green Bay and Minnesota are going to be neck and neck all year for that title in that division.
They're in.
That in Chicago kind of falls by the wayside. It starts in week one. Green Bay wins and covers.
All right. The second of the two Monday night games, Andy, is San Diego at No, I'm sorry. Oakland is at San Diego.
It says at Oakland here.
Is it at Oakland?
Well, that's what it says here, but it might be a screw-up because in every other column, well.
Okay. Maybe I have
it says at Oakland.
Doesn't matter. The Chargers are favored
Where's
by 9.5.
It doesn't matter. I'm taking the Chargers both ways.
And they're favored by 9.5. It doesn't really matter where the game is.
Yeah, I'll take that as well. Chargers.
Richard Seymour going to play?
High scoring.
Yeah, I'm taking the Chargers as well. I think that they have a soft schedule, and they avoid that early season hole that they tend to dig themselves into every year. They come out and win big.
So Richard Seymour's teams are playing Monday night.
Oakland covers, but they lose.
All right.
Where's that game?
In Oakland.
In Oakland, in the black hole.
Won't matter.
Oakland covers.
The Chargers will light up the black hole.
Okay, finally.
The Jets will be landed.
Pats by 11.
Grounded. We have a couple minutes left.
That's what she said.
The final game, Pats host the Buffalo Bills. Favored by 11 points.
Legacy game.
Andy.
The return of Pat Patriot.
You done? I will take the New England Patriots to win. Win big. The concerns I have about everything do not apply to this game for the New England Patriots. They are the far better football team. Brady to Moss will put on a show. Brady to Welker will put on a show. Chris Baker will score. The offense will be high-flying. Probably gets into the 40s.
The running back some touches.
And defensively, maybe they give up a big play to T.O. Otherwise, I'm not worried.
17-21 point victory for your New England Patriots, Fred.
Wow. You guys are a bunch of homers.
Yeah, if Buffalo,
they learned it by watching you.
If Buffalo weren't in such disarray, I might be tempted to take the 11 points. I do think that the T.O. or Lee Evans combination will make a big play or two. I also am concerned about special teams a little bit. The Bills are as good as anybody over the last 5-6 years, and early in the season, that's not a good time to play a team that's always really good on special teams.
I worry
about those things, but I agree with Andy. I can't see the Patriots not getting in the high 30s or even into the 40s in this game, and that's enough to cover the
spread.
Right,
and this will be, no matter what the Patriots win by, if it's 35-10, 35-17, it will be no indication yet of how the defense is going to play. So don't get all crazy if they hold the Buffalo Bills down, because as much as we like Trent Edwards, we think he's going to be a decent quarterback. There's a lot of problems. Remember, they just fired their offensive
coordinator. They have five new offensive linemen.
Well,
two
the other side could
be true, who are starting.
Yeah. If it's 38-35, start worrying.
So I'm going to go with the Patriots big as well, but let's just hold down the praise.
Oh, wait a minute.
Defense.
I have to change the pick. I had Fred taking Buffalo.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for picks in our
John
show.
He's coming over for a crossover.
Just wait a minute. I'm about to do it.
You said that's going to do it.
For our show.
Colt McCoy's ready.
For our show, but.
Put me in, coach.
But stay tuned for Patriots Playbook hosted by John. John, what do you got today?
Russell Baxter will join us.
Who?
Yes, I know. Yeah. That's exactly right.
He's been great on those the two-a-days that they have with Mike Evans.
Yeah, he's got a lot
comes
of great
up with
stuff.
The questions.
So we're
going
to come up with the top five things to look for in week one of the NFL. That's always entertaining, and we'll do a little bit of that with him today. And we also take a look at selected games. We don't go through the whole schedule like you guys do, but we take a look at games that affect the Patriots or will affect the Patriots on down the line. And he gives his insight, his knowledge, and all the stuff, maybe a couple of tidbits that you'll actually hear Chris Berman or Tom Jackson parrot
right
on Sunday. You'll hear
interesting.
First.
I bet you get a lot of that.
Yeah.
I bet there's a lot of that stuff.
It's like
Albert Brooks in Broadcast News comes right in here, right?
For the in-depth analysis of the game, stay tuned to Patriots Playbook with John Rook coming up right after this. For us, we will see you next Tuesday.